Oh shit. Here we go again.
We regret to inform you that I said we was gonna come back after the wedding, but y'all niggas wildin'. So welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host Brother X, and the culture scientist is freaking out about the wedding right now, so she can't come on the podcast. She'll be back after the wedding. Thanks and thanks for your understanding. And here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2023, why is weddings super expensive in 2023 and in general, because god damn it's expensive. All right, I'm going to stop talking about the wedding now, but we just hope that you guys haven't been chilling, taking care of your mentals, enjoying this little hiatus before our new season. We got some things cooking up for you guys. We're really working on some things, and like I said, we'll be back in full force once we figure out our lives and I go ahead and get the ball and chain. I mean, marry the love of my life. I mean, I'm blinking twice because I'm okay.
I'm in danger.
But yeah. So without further ado, before we go any further, we want to make sure we shout out our sound engineer, our main man. No disrespect this season, man. I promise I'm not going to have any negative nicknames this season. Y'all can hold me to this.
Cap.
Maybe. All right. But Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
I was waiting for the maybe. I was like, yeah, all right. Cap. anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, the place of subscriptions. Keep feeding us, we'll keep feeding y'all. A few quick things. Number one, shout out to Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Definitely looking forward to their season 5 loading up. I know they got some great musical things, so please go check them out. Number two, I can't remember what episode it was, but sometime, I want to say a season or two ago, we talked about a woman who introduced a sauce called the pink sauce.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Hey, administration. Shout out to culture scientists.
Well, you know, she ended up getting in with a couple of suppliers to actually make it FDA approved and all of that. But of course, you know, folks, when it comes to these companies, gotta have lawyers to read the fine print. According to her, she's pretty much bankrupt or pretty much heading towards that with some of the terminology in her contract, and is asking for people to, I believe, is a GoFundMe to help her with the fees and costs, which that's the pressure of doing business. That's part of the reason why I don't want to be a business owner, because y'all niggas is way too technical.
And I'll be going through it.
Yeah, I just want to have a simple life, you know, just really simple. And then last thing, Trumpito, a.k.a. Mango Mussolini, a.k.a. that orange Cheeto over there.
A.k.a. that dried out apricot.
Ooh, that's a good one. He got hit with that Rico.
Cue the copyrighted music.
We might just get hit with the Rico.
Oh, he got called the mean Rico. I'm like, hey, he feel like, shit, not that I had it bad. Yeah. Young Thug, like, that's crazy in Young Thug.
Oh, you know, I'm not surprised. I think the only thing that's not surprising, but just kind of eyebrow raising now, is like, with all of these charges, there are still folks that are so dedicated that they're like, we will still vote for that nigga in 2024 if he runs. Like, I'm sorry, did we just have amnesia on the pandemic, which we're still technically in, and the tax cuts, which ended up fucking us over, you know, later on down the road, and just like the amount of just anarchy that this man's produced? And you mean to tell me you're willing to bring him in for another time? Now, for the record, listeners, I ain't stupid. I know a lot of them are richer people because they know that they're going to get the benefit of his tax cuts. I understand the system to a degree. However, from a moral standpoint, yeah, no. Hell no. No.
It's crazy because it's like, dog, everybody, like, you would think at some point, well, it's willful ignorance is what it is, but ultimately, it's like, dog, everybody around him that has been involved, like the January 6 people, dog, they've been catching bodies left and right. Like one cat, I think, had like 10 years. Another kid had like 21 years. Mm-hmm. Like, dog, you would be, well, no, I remember, this is America. Shout out to Donald Glover. You would think it was like, at some point, y'all have to realize, dog, he ain't going to make it unless he could be a president from the prison system, which if he could do that shit, I'm not saying that I would want to see it. That shit would be impressive.
Yeah, that's where you know, like, no matter.
Like, we are in the shithole. Yeah, we are the glory of the world.
Good God, that hurt my chest. I mean, granted, and the sad part is, even though I know we got a whole bunch to talk about, but the two things we left off the list were both Florida stories, and they were terrible.
Oh, God. Like, nah. Dog, we just learned to accept. It's like, it's Florida. We ain't got the time and energy. Florida, we'll get to y'all. You will have your weekly Florida session coming up in season four, man. But yeah, so with that out of the way, let's go ahead and do a quick mental health check. I'll start with myself. I am at the time of this recording, I believe I am now at, although I don't say this in the culture scientist series with me because I know it freaks her out. We are currently, if the app will load up, I believe we're at 16 days.
Yeah,
16, I think that's 17 right. Days, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yep. I'm mentally in a space where I'm like, gotta get stuff done. It's really crunch time. We got tighten up, gotta lock in. I mean, we've been locked in for like the last couple of months, but without going into too much detail, I'm thankful that we had this break because unfortunately, maybe a 2 or 3 weeks after we went off for season three, I had a uncle of mine pass away, my mother's brother. So it has allowed me some time to be able to focus on family a little bit more. My family just left today to go back down to Charlotte. Because my mother had to travel up to New York to go to the funeral. But it's just, I'm very grateful. Like, I recognize my own little world, and the most important, three most important people in my life were at my house for this past couple of days, give or take, like my mom being there. But just love on you people, man. Just appreciate life. Appreciate good health. Honestly, that's probably the biggest thing, because I know so many people who have lost family members from different illnesses, and it's tough because I think I may have talked about it before on the podcast, but one of the hardest things you can ever do is see a loved one that you care about slowly but surely start to pass away or start to transition. And it's never like what it is in the movies. It could be as quick as a quick breath gasp and they're gone, or you don't even see it. They pass away and they sleep. So appreciate good health, get your checkups, men, get your prostate exams when you're old enough or when it is appropriate. Women, get your breast cancer. Continue to get help. I know we have things going on in the African-American community, but please, please, please do your screenings, do your testings, eat your green vegetables, stop putting lemon pepper on everything. It don't work like that. And stop, garlic and onion powder don't need to go on everything. For white people, that doesn't go for you. You need to put seasoning in your food, period. But yeah, man, just please, 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 please continue to take care of your mental and emotional health. Mr. Smith, how are you doing mentally?
You know, mentally, I'm pretty good for the most part. It's been busy. Obviously, let me make sure I say this with clarity. Not as busy as yours, because me and you have had some conversations off air that's like, whoa, but I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But you know, just kind of running around, me and Teacher Bay are kind of hitting both sides of the family, you know, going to you know, functions and making sure that we're present. Cause, you know, like Brother X said, you gotta be there in the present times. Tomorrow's not promised. You never know who's gonna not wake up the next day. Not trying to sound grim, but just being real. So just trying to appreciate the time and energy with folks. You know, and with the I guess the fall kind of almost here because summer's technically not over, but it's pretty much there. 2K has came out, folks, and you know the funny thing about this 2K? Normally, when 2K comes out, I'm probably on it within like the first day or two. Yeah, it took me 5 days to actually have time to sit down and start learning mechanics.
Preach,
And
preach.
if there's anything you know about me, listeners, you know I'm a gamer. So the fact that my adult life made me take 5 days where I had to do extra stuff before I could even get to that lets you know how busy I really am. But overall, just kind of taking a life one day at a time. I'm starting to do what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? Meditation. Starting to do meditation more because part of what I've always told myself is with all the stress and everything going on in the world, there's one specific point in my, I guess, solid lifetime where everything was kind of like not a breeze, but calm. And that was the year 2021. Granted, again, it's with an asterisk because it was still pandemic, it was still, craziness going on. But in that time, I think it was just because I had everything kind of on a, I'll say kind of like a process, kind of everything was kind of like streamlined. So it was kind of easier for me to go through my progressions, go through my day-to-day life, whatever, and still be able to maintain my sanity. So I'm trying to get back to that point. With all the business that we have, and just try to, I mean, me and Brother X and our group of friends have all said the same thing at the same time. We are excited for the wedding and homecoming. Once homecoming is done,
Y'all ain't gonna
listeners.
see me. Y'all don't see me now because you're listening. But yeah, I promise you, you're not about to see me. Not nay, never.
Yeah. So, I mean, for now, I'm just looking forward to. As of the time of this recording, about it, when you hear this, listeners, it'll be the weekend of the HUHU game. Looking forward to seeing that. Looking forward to Hampton once again beating Howard because, again, as Obama said, last time that Howard beat Hampton, bougies were together. So take that what you will.
Yeah, I'm willing to give kudos to that school across the bay, Norfolk State. Congrats on winning the Battle of the Bay and beating Hampton. Y'all still ratchet as hell, by the way, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But you get your kudos. You get your kudos.
Yep. Listen, but no, I'm just looking forward to seeing some alumni come up to the DC area. Me and Teacher Bear are definitely gonna, hit up some folks, see what's going on, and just enjoy a pretty good game. But yeah, outside of that, just counting down the days to Brother X and Culture Scientist's wedding, and trying to pitch in and help in where I can so that this man can say I do and then go.
Dog, you hey, I might dog, I might drop like 10 pounds of stress right there after I say I do.
I can believe that.
I'm about to say my lock's gonna get 5 inches longer.
Okay, Samson.
Dog, but that's a whole nother thing. And like I said, listeners, you'll probably hear our first episode back will probably be maybe like 1 or 2 weeks after the time of the wedding. And you guys will hear all about the process because I mean we've talked about it in spurts, but it is literally, as everybody says, it is a second job. But we'll get back to that at another time. But you know what we haven't done in a while? Oh, I'm sorry, real quick, Miss Smith. I know this is in the docket, but Queen C, I know you didn't think I was gonna let you talk about you being with my girl 1 weekend without me addressing it. Ma'am, I promise you. When you come for the wedding, everything gonna be right out of reach for you. I promise you. Your seat is gonna be one of them little booster seats without the actual stool. I promise you. It is a different letter of petty and it's on site.
Oh
And you can't
my
do nothing about it for 3 weeks. All right, Mrs. Smith, play the copyrighted music.
Because I already know how petty both of y'all are.
I
Oh,
promise
God.
you. Like your gift for her gift for the wedding gonna be a step stool.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Let me get myself together. Professionalism. Okay. All right, folks. So since we've been gone, a lot has happened. So I'm just going to try to streamline some of the more, you know, the bigger things that's happened. Starting off with NCAA football, as you know, we talked about Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, leaving Jackson State University and coaching Colorado Buffs. And so far, that thing is him, because they went up against TCU and was like, national championship runner up, who? And to that credit, but to that credit, I'm laughing because Travis Hunter, who is, I'm gonna call it what it is, that nigga is literally the epitome of Blitz the League 2, where you are a two-way player being a quarterback and also being on the defense as like a, you could be a linebacker or safety, whatever. This nigga is legitimately a wide receiver in a corner and literally played, I think, what was it, like 69% of the snaps for the whole game, listeners. I'm not talking about just one side of the ball. Now, it's different if it's like, oh, you played 75% of the snaps from the offensive side. No, this nigga played 69% of the entire game.
Yup.
And when he was done, he said, it's just my first one. Like, oh, what, there's more? So they beat TCU in a shootout, which went on. And then everybody was, you know, the pundits, the mostly white people pundits, was like, oh, well, you know, that was just a fluke and Nebraska's going to beat them. And when I tell you they thumped Nebraska, yeah, look out for Colorado, man. And I will say, if Coach Prime gets a now, way too early prediction, but if Coach Prime gets a national football championship with the Colorado Buffs, nigga, he might have to go to the NFL.
Oh, no, ain't no might. Somebody going to overpay him to come to the NFL.
He might do it. Moving on to tennis. And Coco Gauff, our lovely, you know, support Black women, uplift Black women, protect Black women.
Yeah.
Won her first match at the U.S. Open, but not without a slight bit of controversy. And when I mean controversy, nothing on her end. So right. Basically, if you're, you know, which I'm sure this is way past then, but if you were under a rock and hadn't heard anything, she was getting frustrated because her opponent was moving too slow. Listeners, I'm not saying, I've watched that match live. When I tell you Coco was going at her normal pace, maybe like, all right, you know, I'm a little upset. Let me go ahead and get this serve off maybe like 2 seconds earlier. But when I tell you that white woman was taking her sweet time to get herself ready, to the point where I think after the first set, Coco was like eating a snack or whatever in between the break. She was looking at the umpire like, she's not allowed to sit down. Like, stand up. This isn't the rules. This ain't that type of break. Stand her ass up. White woman, stand up. Then, you know, the woman is taking too long to get ready, to the point where even the crowd is like, time delay, get a point, time delay. So at that point, you know, she was going over the time in the first set and Coco didn't say anything. Coco would look at the umpire, wouldn't say, do anything. And then in the third set, finally, she was like, okay, ma'am, what are you doing? Because I've been patient. I've tried to deal with it. And you would let this woman do everything that she want to do. This is not that type of party. I mean, when I tell you Coco literally, I want to say, got the judge in line professionally and courteously, it was beautiful. To the point where the judge ends up calling the woman for a point for a time delay. And the woman was like, I go to the towel one time and one time only, and then you're going to give a point for me. It's like, ma'am, it ain't the towel. You took too long. Like, you know the rules. You try to run game. You try to game the system. Yeah. So, you know, Coco ended up getting that ass up out of there. And she then did what needed to be done. She ended up winning the entire U.S. Open, which is her first major title of her career. And when I tell you Black people put their hands up in the air, like trying to give her a spirit of the spirit bomb from Dragon Ball Z, she went on ahead and delivered what she needed to do. So props to Coco Gauff, and we hope to see her and Naomi and Sloan wrecking havoc in this sport for a long time. On the men's side, there was another Black guy by the name of Ben Shelton who was doing really well until he got to Novak Djokovic. And Shelton was getting hyped and was trying to, you know, get the crowd into it, get a little amp. And Djokovic was like, I don't think you know who I am. This is not my final form. And yeah, Djokovic got him up out of there in 3 sets. And Djokovic, if you've ever watched a match of his, he doesn't really talk a lot, but then he'll do some gestures at times where he's like, all right, this monk must not know who I am. This man literally looked at Shelton at certain points when Shelton would win, like a, let's say a point or whatever, and Shelton would put up the hands like he's making a phone call. Why would Djokovic won, did he put the hands like he making a phone call, then put the hand down like he's hanging up the phone? I was like, oh, you
can. I was like, hold on, let me call you right back. Hit him with Braun.
I was like, oh, you petty, but you earned it because you won, but you petty. So looking forward to that. To track and field, yeah, Sha'Carri coming for blood. She done heard all the comments.
Yeah.
When I tell you.
Yeah, she's her again. She's her again.
Yeah, she made sure to let y'all know, like, I am her thief. Like, she took out Fraser Price. She took out Sharika Jackson in certain. And I mean, there was a, I think it was a 4x100 relay. When I tell you they both got it, and I want to say maybe Sha'Carri might have had like a, I say a two-step, maybe 2.5-step lead on Jackson. When I tell you Jackson did not close that gap at all, Sha'Carri was like, nah, you're not catching me. Not at all. So I'm happy. I want her to continue to succeed. You know, I can tell, like, if she's going to taunt somebody, she's going to do it when the time is right. She ain't going to just be, you know, she said it herself. She's like, I done been there when everybody see me at my high, and I've been there when the world was against me. I'm doing this for me and my family. And honestly, as you should. So at all. Moving on to the men's side, and track runner Noah Lyles definitely made some interesting comments about the world championships.
Yeah.
Which
we got to get into that a little bit, but yeah, continue.
So he basically said that he was looking at the NBA, and what he said was, what hurts me the most is I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. Lyles said, world champion of what? The United States? Which he's like, if you're a world champion, you play in the world championships. But the NBA has world champion, like, their teams are spread out throughout the world. Which, I ain't gonna lie, nigga got a point. Like,
I'm about to say, he got more than a point, because I'm sure you're gonna get into it in just a moment. But it's like, there were people who initially came out against him, was like, dog, you corny, like, you, how do you do that? Like, we had the best players in the world. Of course, we were the world champs, or it never said on the show that had those world champs. When I have heard many of broadcasters say over the airways multiple times, and like NBA champion, world champion, Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers, Boston. Oh, I'm sorry, Boston Celtics. Yeah, I ain't.
You are so petty.
Oh, Miami. All right, yes. But you get my point. But then, I don't want to see your thunder. Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely understand exactly what he's saying. He's basically saying, like, if you are an NBA champion, you are the champion, a national, again, what does the NBA stand for? National Basketball Association. Not World Basketball Association, national. National means domestic. Domestic means United States. So in this case, you're national champions, which is nothing to take away from. But yes, you can say, oh, well, they have some of the best players of the world from different countries on the United States teams. But then my question to you is, are they representing the country? Or are they representing the city that they're playing for in the United States? Now, if this was, let's say, Giannis representing Greece, his team representing Greece, Giannis won the championship, okay, then you can say he's world champion. But it's the NBA. Like, Denver Nuggets, world champions. Golden State Warriors, NBA champions. Los Angeles Lakers, NBA, like, they're national champions. It's domestic. Like, I don't, again, this is general geography. I don't understand what the big deal is. Everybody was in a little tizzy because they hate like word choice. It's like, okay, guys, I need y'all to really go back to world civilization. Go back to social studies and geography class. I need you to look up what it means to be a world champion and what it means to be a national champion. Because I'm pretty sure with football, when you go to the CFP, they're called national champions. Basketball, national champion. You don't hear world champion. And you have people that are international that can sometimes go to those colleges. So, but, you know, to each his own. I know everybody's going to have their think piece, whatever. I didn't really see the big deal about that. Speaking of world champion. yeah, so he might have had a point. Yeah, no, he might have had a point because the U.S. was coming into the FIBA World Cup like they were hot shit. Yeah, that didn't last long. Yeah, they got bounced in the semifinal round. I'm trying to remember who did they go against.
Oh, I can tell you they lost to Germany. No, they lost to did they lose to Lithuania? Lost to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bumped them to the third place game. And then they lost to Canada in the third place game. And Dylan Brooks, I believe not an apology, but what the fuck was this? You deserve one. Like, where the fuck was this person? Where you went hammer time on the U.S. for 39 points. I ain't never seen you play like that. That nigga need to be drug tested. Like, you got cats out here balling like it's March Madness. Like, it is crazy how bad it was. And then, like, Mikal Bridges has a phenomenal play at the end of the game where he makes the first free throw, misses the second one, gets his own rebound, shoots a three, makes it to send it into overtime. And y'all still got beat by, I think it was like double digits, either 9 or 10 points, I think.
It was nine points.
Dog, there are people I need to address right now. Jaren Jackson, learn how to fucking box out and get a rebound. Brandon Ingram, do something with your hair. Jalen Brunson, I don't know what I really expected. Anthony Edwards, you cool. But fuck them, but you cool. I'm trying to think, who else on the team? Walker Kessler, I don't even know why you're there. You're the token white guy, like the walk-ons at Duke. They never play. I'm trying to think, who else am I missing? Tyler Haliburton should have been starting the entire time, but that's just my personal opinion. And Steve Kerr, as a Golden State Warriors fan who has watched him and some of his decision-making over the last few years, world, welcome to my personal hell when it comes to NBA basketball, because his love of playing small ball drives me crazy. The fact that you don't want to play a big man when you have skilled big men, it's not like you're talking about Golden State who has JaVale McGee, Zubac. What's the dude's name? Oh, the whole point is, come on now. You gotta play the way their talent is set up. You're not playing with Steph. Like, your engine can work with Steph. Your engine can work with a great facilitator like LeBron. If you're gonna need someone who facilitates, you need to start Haliburton over Jalen Brunson, who was a scoring guard, an undersized scoring guard at that. But what do I know?
Well, I don't really gotta say much else. Listen, because he done broke it down for y'all. Look at Brother X with the expert analysis.
I appreciate it. You know, I have a bright moment every once in a while,
every few weeks. But that goes to say that the NBA, or let me not say the NBA, the head of the NBA, and I'm not talking about Adam Silver, I'm talking about LeBron James, was like, we can't have this shit happening next year. So, I'm committed to the Olympics. But listeners, it'd be one thing if he just says, I'm committed to the Olympics, that's it. But if anybody knows LeBron, he ain't coming alone. This nigga, let me tell you something about my man LeBron. He said, I am prepared to commit to the Olympics, but I'm not coming alone. This man is prepared to bring out Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, De'Aaron Fox, and Kyrie Irving. Just That's a start. That is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's a 9-man rotation right there.
Yep.
When I tell you, I heard that, and the first thing I thought of was Space Jam, the first one, not the redo that he did, but the one with Michael Jordan. I feel like if this team was to happen, they would walk on the court and it would look like the Monstars when they first got their powers.
I'm about to say, you going like it literally is just gonna be the NBA at the Olympics. Because Giannis would be like, oh no, you're not about to disrespect my whole country. Well, indeed, he's gonna be like, he playing for some team for the islands, because you know, no, let me not lie. He is it Panama? Yeah, he has citizenship in Congo, Panama, and the United States. Playing for somebody. It's like, dog. Yeah. Nope. Luca's like, y'all can't be serious. No. I literally play this so I get away from y'all. It's the only way I'm gonna get a championship.
Now, I'm gonna be clear, okay? Am I excited if this was to happen? I am. But I'm also going to be a realist. I have to take into consideration that LeBron will be 39 years old in the Olympics if this happens. Now, his body is probably around, I'd say, 35, 36 years old. So it's still doable. And it's not like he has like back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. Like, they have time in between. So it's a different speed. It's a different time limit. You know, it's not 12-minute quarters. So, I mean, it could be done. But I want to make sure that I'm a realist, that I'm not going to be that person that's expecting 2008 LeBron, the redeem team, where homeboy is swatting everything. Like, I'm expecting him to be, if this happens, I'm expecting him to be Jordan in the last three-peat, where he didn't go to the basket. He had his back to the basket, did more fadeaways, and he would kick out to more Anthony Davis or you know, De'Aaron Fox, like the young ones that have that energy. Because, I mean, come on now. At 38, 39, you got to have some real estate.
Yo, the amount of shooting, Curry has never participated in the Olympics, on the Olympic team. And then the line being shorter. When you tell him he got spacing, more spacing, and he doesn't have to create it himself?
Oh, yeah.
Dog, he might average like 20, 25, being modest, if they let him shoot. Because there ain't no way they're going to let him shoot like he's in Golden State.
No, but they will if you have Draymond and LeBron setting a double screen. Oh. Or no, I'm sorry. If you have Draymond and Anthony Davis setting a double screen and LeBron kicks it to Curry, he's open every single time. I'm sorry. And he's firing it. He's probably going to turn around by the time he releases
it. Think about it. I know it is terrible for defense, but you run a set where you have Curry and Dame, LeBron, Draymond, and AD.
That's ridiculous.
They ain't gonna stand a chance
at all. So, hopefully that will happen. If it does, listen, I ain't never looked up tickets to look to the Olympics. I might have to do it for this one time, because I also thought about it and I was like, LeBron could actually do this as a swan song to finish off his career, and I wouldn't be mad about it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Finishing off with the last two things. One, the Last Style Bender unfortunately lost to Strickland via unanimous decision in the UFC. I ain't going to lie. Strickland, six-piece combo, this man.
He's Molly Wap.
That first two-piece, I said, oh, that man's dazed. Then the next four, I was like, I don't know if Israel is going to come out of this one. I'm sorry. He might be able. If he does, he got to knock him out. Obviously, it didn't happen. So, you know, we'll see what happens going on UFC. And then last but not least, NFL. So, Aaron Rodgers, the longtime Green Bay Packer, who got traded to the Jets this past summer. And I want to make sure I'm clear. He got traded to the Jets for a 2023 first-round pick, second-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a conditional 2024 second rounder that could become a first if he would have played 65 to 70% of snaps this season. The Jets also ate Rodgers. At the time, it was like $50 million or some ridiculous amount of salary that he ends up taking a pay cut to go down to $35 million, which still is crazy to even say that those that sentence. But let me hold a million. Fuck a dollar. I can get that. Give me a million. But he you know, he comes out on Monday Night Football, September 11th, also Brother X's birthday. So all the fans, subscribers, make sure you give a belated, happy belated birthday to Brother X for giving you this fire content.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I am always accepting donations.
Gifts.
Funds.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Maybe some stripper bucks.
Damn it. I was getting ready to say it.
Check out our registry on Zola, The Misadventures of TNM 2023 or 23, I think it is. We might put it in the show notes. Who knows? But yeah, just if you in the comments of heart want to donate to our emergency funds, because after this wedding, you better not tell me to go outside.
Outside is closed.
It is. Mm-hmm. Too much.
So
about to say we got outside at home.
Well, listen, that's where I am too. So, you know, it's Monday, September 11th. It's two New York teams, New York Jets versus the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo, and they're in, which is interesting, they're in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which is where the Jets and the Giants play. Aaron Rodgers literally is out there for four plays. And then he gets tackled. And when he got tackled, his Achilles reverberated and tore. Homeboy is done for the rest of the season. Done. You literally gave up four big picks and ate his salary for four plays. When I tell you, I would be sick to my stomach. But there is an interesting piece about this that I want you to hear. Listen to a news station in Green Bay in Wisconsin, who offered free drinks if the Jets lost because Aaron Rodgers was playing for the Jets.
We're just going to keep going.
Another condition is Aaron Rodgers must start the game, but the rules say nothing about him having to finish it. So there's a loud roar when Rodgers leaves the game hurt in the first quarter. The fans say it's nothing personal.
I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to Rodgers, but tonight I'm thinking with my wallet instead.
Still, some say they'll be flying high regardless of the outcome because after Sunday's game, they're in love.
I think we can work around that, especially after Jordan Love's performance yesterday. I'm not too down in the dumps after that, so.
Much. Enjoy.
And the mood has changed considerably. That is because the Jets just won the game on a long touchdown in overtime. You could take a look. This is the reaction from a bar where people are realizing the bar tabs they've been racking up all night, thinking certainly with Rodgers hurt, the bar was going to be paying that tab. It is setting in. They are going to have to go to the bar and pay that tab. That's where we're at. This offer is going to be in effect for another 12 games this season. As long as the Jets and Packers are not playing at the same time, this Jets lose, you win promotion is in effect. Tonight, Bill and Natalie, the house won.
Well, you roll the dice, you take your chances. I mean, there's always the possibility.
Yeah. AJ, do these fans kind of deserve it for cheering for a Packers Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion and four-time MVP to get injured?
I don't think that they were cheering for the injury, Bill, as much as they were cheering for their odds of having a free night of booze on the house. They weren't going to have to pay for it. It was a thought, at least, when Rodgers got hurt. I have a feeling that come tomorrow morning, a lot of these folks are going to wake up unhappy about the bar tab they had to pay and unhappy that some of them showed up on video clapping and waving at the screen when a Packers legend got hurt.
And maybe how much they decided to drink when they thought the bar tab was on the house. AJ, thank you very much. A wild ride from start to finish.
I don't mean to laugh at others' misfortune.
This is great.
Yeah, so you heard it here first, folks. Rodgers went out in the first drive. In comes Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson literally ran for his life the entire first half. And Buffalo couldn't really get anything going outside of maybe a touchdown to Stephon Diggs. So Buffalo is not playing their best. The Jets defense is freaking amazing. And the offense just couldn't get anything going. Fourth quarter comes around, all of a sudden the Jets just wake up and start getting passes in. Shout out to Garrett Wilson, because that touchdown, that was ridiculous. Like that, that catch was phenomenal.
Hit him with the little boy.
Dog, he turned his head so quick, like, sir, this ain't what you want. So they end up going to overtime. And when I tell you that overtime win was by a punt return for a touchdown by an undrafted rookie, that is crazy. Like, you can't write that storyline. So, you know, prayers up to Aaron Rodgers. I hope that this is not the last time we see him. I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but, you know, hey, strange things have happened. Cam Akers came back in 5 months with a torn Achilles, so you never know. And then the last I had to have some positive. And then the last thing is,
Tim is on. I'm sorry for your loss in this time.
Oh Lord, I didn't pick him up, so I'm straight. I definitely picked up Jalen Hurts with Lamar Jackson as my backup. And Daniel Jones, but I definitely didn't start Daniel Jones, so I'm good.
And then Daniel Jones is still alive after that game.
Oh, yeah, he got murdered.
He
got murdered. But then the last thing, which is interesting, all the quarterbacks who, you know, won those huge contract extensions this summer played like ass. Joe Burrow got destroyed. Lamar Jackson did okay, but definitely could have done better and should have done better. Definitely had a fumble too, which I'm like, why? Daniel Jones, booty cheeks. Who's the other one? There was one more that just like literally signed. I can't remember who it is.
Joe Burrow was the latest one, I think.
Well, he's the latest one, but there was a couple before him. Herbert played okay. He played decent. I know I'm missing somebody. I just can't remember who it is. Trevor was okay because they won. Trevor was okay. But overall, it just was like they played like huge butt for the amount of money that they're getting. So, granted, it's 1 week. So, we'll see what happens in the weeks to come. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to learn more about the NFL and everything that's going on within it, hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube and his Instagram. His links will be in the description below.
Plenty of the music. Holiday season. Now we're going to go ahead and switch lanes, go ahead and get into our main segment of today's episode, which is the segment we're going to call Now Mind You. For those who have not been a long time listener, please go back and run up our numbers, because we always take in plays, downloads,
and subscriptions.
Exactly. So in Now Mind You, we talk about things that we find interesting on the internet, sometimes the shade room where they have some type of couth. CNN, whatever we find on these social media streets, and we talk about it in the Black vernacular by using the term Now Mind You to give you the key and vital parts of said stories and give you our commentary on said story. Now, we got some interesting things. We're going to go ahead and take a serious moment to go into a very like groundbreaking television show that that is a big part of the Black culture and the Black community, Love and Hip Hop. And in this situation, Eric and Mena, is it Menez or Mena?
Mena.
Longtime member of the Love and Hip Hop franchise, been off and on for multiple seasons. She was in some hot water because of a clip that we're going to share in just a moment, but let's just lay some ground information. Basically, Love and Hip Hop came out on September 2nd and stated that the Love and Hip Hop franchise has never shied away from hard conversations in our community. Working hand in hand with our partner viewers, we'll see the impact of Erica Mena's remarks play out in the final three episodes of the season. Effective immediately, she will not appear in the next season of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Now, listeners, when you hear something like that, you're like, she had to say something crazy, like something really out of pocket for her not to come back from next season, because I don't know if you know, but Love and Hip Hop is built off the back of Black drama. Would you say, Ms. Smith? I feel like that's a fairly accurate way of putting it.
Facts used to be about, oh, I'm in the studio, I'm in the music, but mainly it's the drama.
Yep, yep, yep. But shout out to them producing phenomenal talent. The Cardi B was popping, all that, you know what it is. But yeah, so Mr. Smith, I think we're ready for the clip. Can you go ahead and play it real quick?
Should I die, bitch? Y'all open the f***ing door. Let me out. Right. Let me out. I'm gonna f***ing mush up in here. Let me out, bitch. Your son hates you. Your son hates you, bitch.
You monkey. You f***ing blue monkey.
Eric, I cannot believe you. You just called this girl a monkey and then said she should have died. What type of is this? You have Jamaican children. Would you like somebody to call your children monkeys? You should have did.
Mr. Smith, would you like a little context about the person who was saying something about Erica Mendez's child hating her?
So Erica Mendez has, I think she has a couple of children. I know she has one by Safaree. But I want to say she had one prior to him. Not sure. Still.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the son that she has, it's been kind of a relationship. And obviously when you have a mom that's in the limelight at all times, that might not be what the son's personality wants. I mean, for me, you know, you and Teacher Bay and the rest of our group knows this. I'm a person, I don't need to be in the spotlight. I like to be behind the scenes. I watch from a distance, have a drink and watch whatever. But you're looking at your mom and all these different antics that she's had, whether it's with Sin Santana or what's homeboy's name that did Uptown? Can't remember his name. I don't really watch a show like that. You know, it on one end, I can understand, like, Spice did cut a little low because you don't usually bring kids into arguments. Like, that's low. You know, you don't do mamas, you don't do kids.
Right.
That's like the two things, right? But at the same time, you don't call nobody a monkey. Like, bruh, that's...
Like, you have to have some situational awareness, because you know if the situation was flipped, you would have did more than flip the table that we saw in the video, listeners, since you weren't able to see it. You would have, man, you'd be on the other side banging on the door saying, let me out so I can get after it. So if it's not, like, it's a rule of thumb that I teach all my students. I'm like, if you don't want it being done or said to you, don't do it to someone else, because if the roles were reversed, you'd be hooping and hollering and complaining like, why did they do that? They did this to me. When you just did the same thing to them in the situation. Make that make sense.
And then the last thing I'll bring to this is, and me and Brother X talked about it off air, it is kind of funny that VH1 and Viacom still aired this clip, even though they had an idea that the backlash was going to come from this. But they still aired it. And the only reason they put the post out that Brother X read in the beginning is because of the backlash. They was like, oh, yeah, we need to do PR. We need to do damage control and make sure we good, because we going to cut her. No, we going to cut her off. Like, you shouldn't have aired it in the first place. A good example of that, College Hill, the Celebrity Edition. When Jocelyn Hernandez and Amber Rose fought, they didn't even show it. You see Amber walk up to Jocelyn, and then all you hear is commotion. Thing goes black, and it's like, for the respect of the university and everything, we are not going to show this. We are going to move forward, and we want to make sure, like, that's how you do it. You don't, that, you know what's going to happen. You'd be like, look, she said this, and we ain't dealing with it. You should have did that beforehand. That way we'd be like, okay, what did she say? And then once we see it, we're like, okay, nope, that's exactly. Otherwise, it's like, no, you condoned it until you saw the backlash. You were like, oh, no, we got to get ahead of this. We're going to lose our coin. Let's do the PR iOS press release. Nah, I ain't buying that. So, but Erica Mena, yeah, you might have hurt your coin a little bit on that one, because, again, in this business, everybody has the tape. Everybody has video. Everybody has screenshots. And when you go for goals and gigs or whatever, they're going to be like, do we want to take this backlash and people that's going to not pay our product because you call somebody a monkey? Nope. Careful what you do.
She's going to mess around and go to the Walmart brand of Love and Hip Hop, go to the Bad Girls Club.
Oh Lord.
She would have put there.
And then she would get Molly Wop.
Like you, if you ever have any intention of expanding your brand, like you can't, like that was always the thing that I found interesting, that is like people who do these shows, like you have to realize you, I'm sure you've heard of the term pigeonholing yourself or typecasting yourself. Like this is what people will see and view your brand as. And you're not going to be able to get anything beyond it. So you're going to be stuck doing these type of shows. Whether it's Love and Hip Hop, The Bad Girls Club, like the couple counseling shows that be coming on VH1 sometimes. Like you have to know that this is how you are seen and this is your brand. And for some people, they made a lot of money off of it. And for others, it's like, dog, there are kids now who are starting to deal with the ramifications of people who decide to have OnlyFans accounts, which again, another conversation. You're not going to knock somebody's hustle, get the money, as long as you understand the not consequences, but the possible outcomes that come along with it. Something just to consider, man. But what do I know? What I do know is somebody checked the batteries in the back of this Nutcracker wannabe, Mitch McConnell. Because, listen, we talked about a few weeks back, I believe it was, where he had a phase where he literally just hit the loading screen. The window sound effect played when he tried to start talking. He looked like he just shat himself. He looked like he just saw his the Green Reaper. He looked like his ancestors said it's time to come home. Mr. Smith, you got any? I feel like I'm on a roll right now.
Hey, talk your shit. I'm just here.
But I say he looks like he tried to talk to the manager and found out the manager was black. He looks like his food was a little bit too hot and now he's trying to not spit it back out. He looked like he eats soft melted bananas. He looks like he eats tapioca pudding. He looks like his hair is dusty. He looked like his glasses are built out of Coke bottle glasses. He looks like his ears can hear everything from Texas to Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. Did you empty the clip yet?
He looked like he's built like the letter H. He looks like he's built like the letter N, lowercase, not the uppercase. He looks like he hasn't had lips since the 80s. He looks like he hasn't had facial hair since the 70s.
Damn.
All right, I'm done. I forgot what we were even talking about. I'm sorry.
Did I say you went off? My God.
I didn't even plan for that. Listen, I am sorry. That's usually saved for a regular episode, but we're here now.
Yep. But just basically, if you don't know, he literally was doing a press conference, I guess, or maybe just a interview with news media around, and they just asked a simple question: are you thinking about running again for your position in 2024? Yeah, just listen, and fair warning, the sound that you're going to hear is not from us. It's the microphones in the clip. Putting that up.
Okay.
Senator, you're up for election in 3 short years. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing you.
That's okay. What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026. Oh.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute.
Pause it real quick. Some of you don't look like he holding in a fart right now.
Oh, yeah.
He holding in a mean one. Like, that thing going to linger. Some farts that are a little bit wet, like he's like, he need to go to change his diaper. Yeah, one of them farts.
Oh my gosh. Back to the clip.
Benny. Yep.
Okay.
Somebody else have a question? Please speak up.
Yeah, listeners. So if you couldn't hear that, the question was, what are your thoughts of running again in 2024? And he said, And you could tell, like, if you ever watch the clip, you'll see his right eyebrow flicker, and then he literally will bring his lip in. And you know something, like, it's one thing if you just freeze and whatever, and okay, it could be just, hey, he had a brain fart. No, something is seriously wrong with him, because legitimately, when the lady walks up and says, Senator, did you hear his question? He says, are you running? All you heard him say was, yes. Like, shut up. I'm trying to get through this, because this is not good. Something's happening. And she figures it out and says, okay, we're going to need a minute. But this is not the first time. This is not the second time.
Yep.
At this point, he got to go. I don't care that y'all know his name on the polls for next year. He's got to go, because this person, along with his group, is responsible for our financial spending, our budget policy, international policies, all of that. For the record, when you vote a president into office, understand that the president has the vision of some of the policies he wants to enact in order to help the United States of America, but it's not up to him. It's up to Congress to enact. And that man has been a monkey wrench for Obama and definitely for Biden. And he is definitely scapegoated Trump. Like, he was the one that literally held up Obama from getting a justice onto the Supreme Court. And now, as bad as it's going to sound, and I am a Christian man. I am all about forgiveness and all that. I do not feel bad for this man, because the amount of turmoil and stuff this man has enacted with his policies and his rhetoric and the things that he has done to either halt decisions that can help our nation, I don't feel bad. He needs to retire, and he needs to live the rest of his days and deal with whatever he's dealing with, be with his children, all that. I'm not going to say what other people have said, where it's like, oh, he need to pass away. They're like, I'm not that evil. No, I never wish death on anybody, because you only get one life in this world. But I will say that man needs to retire, because if you're telling me this man could be in the middle of a State of the Union, and he's talking about Mr. Speaker, the... Like, no, I can't. No, you gotta go. Sorry, it's done.
And it's like, it's not, I know I got my jokes off, but it's not really that funny, because it's like, dog, come on now. Everyone does have that one family member that wants to get to speak up at the family function, and they were like, we love you, but don't. Please, like, preside and give your blessings, and the ancestors, I don't know if the white people have ancestors, but all the black ancestors, please look over us and understand that we are not, please charge it to the head and not to the heart. We love when you hear you guys speak, but you gotta keep it condensed, man. You gotta keep it to one to two paragraphs, maybe. Not a three-page report. But speaking of things that should never happen, which I'll try to keep it short, apparently... And listeners, we're going to age ourselves. For those who do not know, who did not come up in this era, just know that this is wild. For those who do not know, can you make it a little bit bigger, Mr. Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bill McFarlane, is that the same McFarlane from Family Guy?
No. That's Seth McFarlane.
True. Okay. Bill McFarlane has made an announcement. And for those who don't know, Bill McFarlane was involved with the first original Fyre Festival, has announced that the sale of the Fyre Festival 2 has tickets with prices all the way up to $7,999. Yes, listeners, you heard that correctly. Tickets to a festival being $7,999. Now, I understand Coachella and certain festivals are beyond expensive, like, but nothing that's crazy as Dreamville Fest, because everybody needs to go. You know who you are. When the tickets drop, I will be there. Me and the coach scientist will be there. If you don't join us, you're lost. But yeah, so it's really crazy. But to get into a little bit more information about it, Bill McFarland has returned to festival planning and just announced the sale of tickets for Fyre Festival 2. As the Shade Room previously reported, McFarland served almost 4 years in prison for defrauding investors of the original 2017 festival. That includes Ja Rule. That's why you have nobody coming to your shows, partially because of 50 Cent, but that's a story for another day. Additionally, he was charged with wire fraud in order to pay $26 million with an M, in restitution. McFarland took to YouTube on Sunday to share the ticket sale announcement with the world, and in the minute-long video, he expressed that it was a big day, and additionally, he explained that his seventh-month stint in solitary confinement inspired his plan to make the impossible happen. McFarland announcement video directly linked to the Fyre Festival 2's official website. As of Tuesday, the website confirmed that the festival will be held on... Mm-hmm. I was going to do the Coach of Scientists, huh? Yeah, no, I'm not going to get the rest of it. But if you're interested, you can always check it out on the Shade Room. But yeah, listeners, I don't know if you know, but if you have never heard of the Fyre Festival, there is a phenomenal documentary on Hulu that talks about it, which is crazy, where he hyped it up. It was basically, what do you call it? A pyramid scheme? No, it's not a pyramid. It was just basically a bamboozle, a tomfoolery, shenanigans, as some unmelanated folk would say. But yeah, so basically it was supposed to be this big musical festival where everybody's supposed to come out. He got a bunch of different artists and celebrities to kind of promote it to try to come out there, but although I don't know if they ever actually ended up, like, they were ever planning on going or performing, but basically just got paid to promote it, and it blew up like wildfire, no pun intended. But it's just crazy because it's like, dog, you just went to jail for this. Like, I understand that 2017 is 6 years ago, but that is still not a long time. And you were in solitary confinement and you had to pay back $26 million. Now, mind you, that's just for that alone. If you ain't got that in your life, period, in your net worth, how the hell are you going to pay back $26 million? Maybe you're trying to make it back with this actual festival, because how are you going to have a second Fyre Festival when the first one was a sham? Make that make sense. Mr. Smith, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, so listeners, on Netflix, the film is called Fyre, F-Y-R-E, The Greatest Party That Never Happened. And basically, he sold it like a luxury music festival in another country, with, you know, Major Lazer and a whole bunch of other artists that are supposed to come out. And I mean, this man is one of those folks that is like the visionary, but doesn't have a great plan to execute it. So, you know, he originally had it to where it was like, oh, we're going to go off of, I think it was the Cayman Islands or something K. It was a specific island that he actually could have used, but then he promoted it like, this is the island that Pablo Escobar hit off on. And they were like, yep, nope, you got to go. So he's one of the people that's like, oh, we're salute. Like, if you watch, I implore you, and this is not, you know, me trying to get promotion for Netflix, but I implore you, watch that documentary. That shit is crazy. And I remember when that thing came out, because the main thing, I think I was at my first after college job as an analyst. And I remember just like, I was at lunch and I was looking on Twitter, and the next thing I saw was a carton or a to-go container with a cheese sandwich with lettuce, tomato, and onion. And they were like, this is what they're serving us at this festival. And I'm like, oh, damn. Sucks to be. Damn. Man. So the fact that he's trying this again, if you fall for it, you only have yourself to blame, because all of the information and stuff is there. Even if he does get this wealth, who is actually going to try to spend $8,000 for a music festival that has not been proven to be, you know, decent? Like, if you were to say, I'm spending $8,000 to go to Coachella, okay. If you want to say, I'm spending a couple thousand dollars to go to Dreamville, okay. If you say Burning Man or whatever, like things that have had longevity. But if you're telling me you want to spend $8,000 for something that hasn't been proven yet, good. If it don't work out, you have yourself to blame. And I'm not saying, like, I always want people to get what they're doing working, because I want everybody to win. But this nigga is a crook. Like, again, watch that documentary on Netflix. I promise you, that shit would have you be like, oh, these people are dumb. Also, shout out to Social Escapade because you guys are nothing like them and you do everything right. God bless you, ladies. We love you.
How about I say shout out to y'all. If y'all ever want us to promote your podcast or you want to sponsor us to come on your trip and talk about your business, we won't say no. You know what it is. You know where to find us. You can talk to our agent, Mr. Smith. He'll negotiate our travel fees.
Wait, hold on. Wait. So I'm an engineer? An agent? So, goddamn!
Yes, yes, yes. You get new jobs for the new season. But I was going to talk to you about that after the podcast, but here we are. All right. speaking of things that I can't believe we're talking about in 2023, I'm just going to read this caption for you guys. According to the TV show on TLC, My Strange Addiction, go ahead and buckle in. Woman shares she is addicted to breastfeeding her husband. He drinks it 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and sometimes a snack.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said.
Somewhere the Dave Chappelle impression of P. Diddy is like, I don't see what's the problem. I don't see what the problem. Now, it'd be really funny if she's Cambodian. Get the reference, you get the reference. All right, now. So, without further ado, let's just go ahead and get into this clip.
We're a family of 5, 3 beautiful children living in the suburbs, but what people would never suspect is that I'm addicted to breastfeeding my husband.
I drink my wife's breast milk every day, all day, straight from the source.
I currently breastfeed my 2-year-old son, and I plan to breastfeed my 2-year-old until he's completely over breastfeeding. I allow my children to choose when they want to stop. I do feel like my son is getting close to that point. He doesn't need me as much. It's sad because I love the bond. I have a condition, just like a lot of women that breastfeed, where I overproduce milk. And so my husband has to take on that secondary role of finishing the job. Breastfeeding my husband is not just a luxury, it's actually a necessity. My breasts will go from flat to hard as rock, super engorged breasts because of just so much milk. Hey, babe. When I don't release my milk, I get mastitis, which is an infection in the breast. Yeah, the left one needs release again. I'll sit here so I don't interrupt your TV.
Just, you want to change the channel?
In order to avoid mastitis of any kind or just engorgement, I definitely need my husband. I personally don't like breast pumps because I just don't like that mechanical part of it all. It doesn't feel good. It's not natural for me. And I just like the bond of breastfeeding. For the past 2 years, we've been fully breastfeeding and he drinks it, 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, sometimes a snack.
Breast milk. You made my day.
I had to do it one time for the one time. I don't get it. Like, I mean, I get it, but like, you can't get. I am not a woman. I am not a woman that has had a child, so I do not understand the challenges and struggles that she deals with. On a serious note, but I feel, and maybe this is just ignorance on my part, that there should be other ways that like you can pump and then like maybe freeze it or like store it, save it potentially for later. I don't know for sure, but I feel like there are other solutions potentially out there. Now, mind you, I don't know if they talked to the doctors and that's okay, because I mean, I get that it's supposed to be high in nutrients and all that stuff, but you would think all the nutrients he would get, this dude who is bald would have more hair on his head from all the breast milk that he was getting, but maybe I'm not sure how that works. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, Mr. Smith. Do you know?
Nope. I mean, he's you can see he's growing the beard a little bit, so maybe that's kind of helping, but yeah.
Quick question. I don't know about you, but doesn't he look like a variant of Darius Cooks?
Yep. I was getting ready to say that. That was part of my comments.
Mr. Smith, go ahead.
So, like you said, I'm not a woman. I cannot speak on her decision-making regarding, you know, the situation that she has. Because when I first looked at this, the first thing I thought of was, if you have this situation where it's engorged or whatever, why don't you just pump it out? But then she says she doesn't like the pump. She doesn't feel like the mechanical thing. And to each his own, you have right in your decision. I will at least be positive, and I will say, shout out to the husband for stepping up and being there for his wife when she needs help, especially to make sure that, number one, the tatas are safe. Number two, she don't get no infection like that. I don't know if I can do that because that's a bit much. Like, you know, and I don't know. This is a weird one. Because on one end, it's like there are things you could do in order to alleviate it. But on the other end, you told us why you don't do those things. And your husband is a consenting participant in the act. So I can't be too mad at it. I mean, again, what the title says, it's weird. It's very strange. Because the fact that your husband drinks it three times a day, like once in a blue moon, just to help you out, all right, you know, shit right. happens. But every day? Good God. That's a lot. That's a lot.
God, I cannot imagine. I hope I am prayerful that I'm not in this situation. Cause if I put in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I don't know if it's gonna work. All right, we're moving on. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit loopy, listeners. I apologize. It's been a long day.
He's gonna put it in his mix.
Bottles not being used properly and a lack of bottles. Listen, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. People who are in the clubs, myself and Mr. Smith don't frequent the clubs anymore like that because we old and we like saving our money for trips and not wasting our money on things that are overpriced, unless they're young ladies who need their college funds paid for. But we're not getting into that anymore. But yeah, so apparently there's this whole concept called bottle wars. And the basic premise is that people are going to clubs and getting sections and ordering multiple, let me say that clearly, multiple bottles of expensive or high-end liquor according to the clubs and the clubbing culture. Things like the little white bottle that has a bell on. I forget what the name of it is.
I think it's called Mezcal, M-E-Z-C-A-L. I think that's what that's called. Yeah.
So you have that. You got Hennessy, which, listeners, I know it's not 2024 yet, but we got to let go of regular Henny. Now, Henny White, you're talking about God. But regular Henny, dog, that's like saying, I want to go to Walmart when Target is right there. Like, I want to go to Food Lion, but Wegmans is right there. But additionally, part of them buying these bottles, and they're literally proceeding to, with people recording, pour them out to show in some level of their stunning or they're so balling that they can waste money on these expensive bottles. Listen, I don't know if you are familiar with clubbing culture is now, but these bottles probably run like $300, $400, maybe $500. Well, I'm sorry. See, I am out of practice. Mrs. Smith, would you like to go into more further detail about these bottles?
Yes. So, okay, number one, to clarify, the bottle that we were talking about is called Classe Azul. That's the white bottle that everybody always has in sections at the clubs. But when you're talking about Black establishments, right, you have to understand that the culture of music and clubbing these days is different from the days that me and Brother X and others grew up in. So the culture now is like more status. Who has the bigger section? who has the bottles, who has this, who has that, right? And hey, that's just what it is, you know, that's life. But this is ridiculous. I just want you to hear what they're saying in the clip about or how the DJ is promoting this when it comes to these bottles. So, okay. I want to make sure I get my thoughts together. Number one, this thing came up because there was a video that said Bottle Wars, New York versus Baltimore. They were in a Houston club. I want you to picture that. New York people versus Baltimore people in a Houston club. And what they said was, oh, we're going to have Bottle Wars to show you that we stunting, right? So they proceeded to pour out a bottle of Casamigos Reposado. Four, count them, four bottles of Don Julio Reposado and a bottle of Henny. The other group decided to pour out about three bottles of Clase Azul Reposado and a couple other bottles of brown liquor. Now, listeners, as someone who has bought a section before, shout out to Brother X's bachelor party, that shit was lit.
But we had a very wholesome time reading scriptures and Bible study and lemon pepper wings. Yeah, no, that was it.
Okay. So, you know, it's you have those bottles start off at about, as Brother X said, $250 to $300. But the higher you get in quality, Don Julio, Patron, 1942, Casamigos, you know, the Clase Azul, you're talking $400, $500, $600. And there are some bottles that'll go for $1,000. You're telling me that you are dropping about, maybe I say lowballing it, $3,000 minimum on the floor to show that you stunting. Nigga, for what? What is that gonna prove? Oh, I got all the money. I do all that. That's cool, but what did you prove with that? Because at the end of the day, you still gotta pay that money. The people that win in this scenario are the club owners. Because you literally just wasted liquor. And then, let's just say for the sake of argument, you didn't drink much of anything. Your section's now thirsty. Now you got to buy another one. Now you just bought another $600, $700 bottle. For what? And I'm not stupid. Many of these folks, or not many, I'm not going to stereotype them. Some of these folks are in the fast money. Drug dealers, scammers, etc. I'm not stupid. I know. Hell, as we said in our bonus episode, which, by the way, listen to that. That shit's still funny. I listened to that the other day and laughed my ass off. We were next to drug dealers and scammers in the club. And, you know, we didn't throw the kind of money that we did. But just like we said in that episode, we literally walked to the bathroom on a floor of money. Like, that's how much we're being thrown that night. So when you go to stuff like this, to me, and this is my opinion, listeners, it's not true for transparency, it's just mine, unless they agree with it. You're just making yourself a target. Because the fact that you're spending this much money outright lavishly, and you are doing it in a way in which, you know, everybody has phones, everybody records, put faces, names, whatever. Okay. If your mindset is, hey, I'll blow this bag, I'm gonna get it back tomorrow, go back on the block, hustle real quick, sell some things. that's a dangerous game that you're playing. And for that, you also have people that are going to come at you and be like, oh, well, I saw you on this video. And you talking about you were doing bottle wars. You pouring out Casamigos. You got it. You got it. Let me hold some. But if you remember, as I always stick to this, if you remember the movie American Gangster with Denzel Washington, Frank Lucas, the smartest one in the room is the one that nobody can figure out. He only got figured out of his operation when his wife bought him that damn mink coat that made him stand out. But his thing was, he always played the back end. He didn't want to be Bumpy Johnson. He didn't want to be out there, because if you can't associate a face with a name, then you cannot put that and say, oh, well, that's the person we need to go after and go get. And you can continue to live your life and run your operation, whatever it seems fit. This is not advice for that. I'm just simply saying that's the movie. Just putting that out there. But to summarize it all up and to complete my statement, again, this is a different time that we're in. If you're telling me that that's what's fun nowadays is bottle wars and you wasting money, I know you're not spending money, you're wasting money on liquor that is purchased to consume. And instead of you consuming it, the floor is consuming it. And you're wasting money for what? For you to show off in front of women? Okay. For the sake of argument, you showed up in front of women and you got them. Now they want you to spend money on them. How much more money have you wasted? What is the point of that? And if you want to say, oh, well, I want to make sure they know that I got money. We know Bill Gates got money. We know Warren Buffett got money. We know Elon Musk, even though that nigga's stupid, we know he got money. Mark Zuckerberg.
I'm about to say, he's got a bad built body, but that's beside the point.
Facts. But you know they have money. And when I
side note. I have to get this off my chest. His body is built like the cars that he sells for Tesla.
Oh, that's nasty.
You ain't shit.
I have to. I'm sorry. Continue. I didn't mean to throw you off your train of thought. But I'm sorry.
No. You had to get you. The clip wasn't empty. I understand. But, you know, like, we know they have money. Like, we know they have money. They have generational wealth that can be passed down for generations type money. Yep. This is fast lane money that may not be passed down to your next person. And when you go within that thought process, the amount of, like, I look back sometimes, the amount of money I waste on stupid shit, I'm pissed off at sometimes. I ain't even close to the type of money they're blowing right now. But I say all that to say, when this is all said and done, and yes, I am a proponent of, hey, live your life. If you want to do that, it's cool. Make your purchases. That's not my thing, but do you? But this is stupid. Can we please go back to the time when me and Brother X and Teacher Bay and the culture scientists and Queen C, when we would go out, everybody was out there to dance. Whether it was Crank That Soulja Boy, Batman, Spider-Man, Stanky Leg, the Cha-Cha Slide, the Electric Slide, you could do Walk It Out. There were so many things, and you just had fun. Where are those? I already know the answer to it. Those times are gone. But where is that energy? Because that makes it a little bit easier for you to enjoy yourself in a healthy environment versus, what are you going to prove here? I'm pouring out liquor to show you that, nigga, I got money. Okay, well, niggas have fragile egos. So the minute that this nigga's ego is broken, now a fight done broke out. Now a shootout done happened. Now somebody done lost their life because you want to start about some fucking bottles. It's dumb. I don't care what y'all say. It's dumb to waste $1,000 on liquor that you don't drink. And this is coming from somebody who literally literally was like, hey, said people who were getting funded their college tuition, you can have this bottle because we ain't gonna be able to drink enough. But that was more of a moral decision because our group was like, yeah, we don't need to drink no more. We're good. Versus, oh yeah, I got money. Let me pour it on the floor. Nigga, you just created a hazard. We bust our ass. Okay, now we're done. Now what?
It's crazy, man. But we just gonna move on. That's some utter and complete bullshit. But speaking of utter and complete bullshit.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Bring you to our last story of today's episode, where this is just the title of the story. Car with giant bull as passenger pulled over by Nebraska police. Listeners, if you went to Hampton, just listen to the name of the city that they got pulled over in Nebraska. Mr. Smith, play the clip.
Around 10 a.m., the Norfolk Police Division responded to a call of a man driving eastbound on 275 with a Watusi bull in his passenger seat.
The officers received a call reference a car driving into town that had a cow in it. They thought that it was going to be, you know, like a calf, something smaller, something that actually fit inside the vehicle.
And the vehicle was big enough. Well, technically.
As a result, the officer performed a traffic stop and addressed some traffic violations that were occurring with that particular situation.
The occupant of the vehicle was identified as Lee Meyer of Neely. The Watusi bull's name was Howdy Doody. He was immediately pulled over by Norfolk police and they performed a routine traffic stop.
The officer wrote him some warnings. There were some citable issues with that situation. The officer chose to write him a warning and ask him to take the animal back home and to leave the city.
Meyer and Howdy Doody are on their way back home and no one was hurt.
First and foremost, the way that they say Norfolk is wow. Like, I know it's in Nebraska, but wow. Secondly, I don't know if you know this, Mr. Smith, but in rewatching this video, that looked like the back of the bull side of the vehicle looked dirty as hell. It looked like it shitted on the back of the car. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, I did. I definitely did.
I ain't never heard of a Watusi bull. It sounded like a Drake song. It gives new meaning to Tuscan leather.
Okay, that was one of your better ones. I'm gonna give you that. That was good.
I appreciate it. And listeners, by you, it's not like the bull is in the back seat. It's a car. It's a like an old police car. And literally, he is riding shotgun in this car, in this vehicle, right next to the driver. And you have the audacity to name your bull Watusi. First, how do you own a bull? Like, I get you a farmer, you out in the country, all the other stuff. But sir, why do you have a bull this big? What are you doing? Thirdly, the bull's like, I don't know why he keeps doing this, man. I just want to go home. I got me a mean a cow waiting on me. She gonna do some things I like. She gonna let me play with her udders. Wait, I'm sorry. Was that a little bit too much?
That was a bit too much.
I'm sorry. He gonna give her new meaning to cow tipping.
Listeners,
okay,
get this man out of here. I'm done with him.
Yeah, I'm done. Mrs. Smith, you got any thoughts?
Listeners, if you ever and the link will be in the show notes. If you watch this video. At first, when I saw this, I was like, oh, okay, you know, it's a bull. Probably one of the mechanical bulls. No, this nigga literally has an actual bull riding shotgun in, what is it, a Ford? Is it a Ford Focus?
Ford,
I think it's a Ford Focus. An old school Ford Focus at that. So, like, I am, like, I'm confused because I'm like, you just had to buy a bull with that kind of car. That's what we're doing. Okay. But like you said, I'm laughing because as someone who went to Hampton University, the standard of excellence, and the one that's gonna beat Howard this weekend, holla. I'm laughing because when he said Norfolk, I was like, who bought a bull in Norfolk, Virginia? And I was like, oh, Nebraska. That's why they said Norfolk. Because if you know, listeners, those of us that hear that, it's supposed to be Norfolk. It's supposed to be spelled N-A-W-F-A. Okay, Norfolk. Actually, no, F-U-K. Norfolk.
There you go. Like, hold on. But I'm not going to lie. There's another thought that I had when I heard them say Norfolk. There's a certain individual that comes to mind, and I shared said video with said person. And I'm like, what are you doing? How did you do this? why do I feel like this is something that you would do? And listeners, I hate to say it, but everybody has one of those friends that's going to do some wild shit, like have a big ass bull sitting in their car and be like, I don't know. I wanted some sirloin. I don't know. Like I wanted to trade like pasteurized. I don't know. Like it just happened. Sir, how does it just happen? Like that bull got a whole family. Got man, got little calves that are wondering when you gonna bring back the milk. Mr. Smith, I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. We getting our shots up before the season starts. I'm just still tripping that this nigga really had a whole ass bull in his pasture seat. Like everything was okay. Like, oh yeah, his name is Jimmy, and we're taking him to the ranch. Nigga, that's a whole like horns, like running of the bull. That's him. You have him in your pasture seat. Why? Well, you know, I bought him, and I feel like he was going to play with Wilbur and the rest of them at the farms. So I just figured, well, how far are you going, sir? Oh, you know, we're in Nebraska. We're going to Ohio. Nigga, what? How?
Dog, how? How are you going to make it out? Like, dog, can you imagine them getting into a car accident?
Nigga. Don't let it be a head-on collision. Driver inside, done. It's a wrap.
Dog, I swear, that's like a reject idea for Twisted Metal.
Hey, yo. A special impale? Nah, we're done. We're done. Go ahead. Wrap it up. We're done.
You can see him launch like a bull launcher. He's like done. A catapult.
We're done. We're done. That's like, it.
You got Tyrese driving and saying, ejectocito.
So listen to the transparent moment.
The transparent moment is we back on our bullshit. But no, in all seriousness, man. Stay away from monkey comments. Don't be like Mitch McConnell. Make sure you change batteries every couple of weeks. Don't go to Fyre Festival. If you drink breast milk, make sure that it is of the highest quality. Save the bottles for at home, and just stop hanging out with Watusi bulls. And honestly, listeners, I know I'm also bullshit, but I appreciate you guys listening to my rambling. This has been quite a stress reliever for me. I know I said we were going to hold off, but Mr. Smith hit me up. He was like, we got to do it. We got to come back. We got to give the people what they want. So we back just a little bit. We gave you a little bit of a sandwich. We ain't give you the full entree. But yeah, man, just love on your people. Feel your feels. Drink water. Talk to your person. Talk to your therapist. But yeah, you can always hit us up on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube. And you can always email us your stories, thoughts, and opinions about what you've heard today at Truth and Transparency Pod 123 at gmail.com. For the Coach Scientist, for Mr. Smith, for Howdy Doody the Bull. For all of our fans, lovers, and supporters, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And the immortal words of my father, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Peace.
Hey, y'all. We're going to be coming back soon. 2K time.